Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Aren't you glad you got a Savior? Aren't you glad you're not too far gone? Amen? Amen. Some of y'all need to be really glad because you were pretty close. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know, we were all over the line and too far gone and just too much. But Jesus, thank God for Jesus. He loved us anyway. Amen. He loved us even when we said we swore we'd never do stuff again. He loved us then too. Even when we knew better, he loved us then too. Jesus loves you. Aren't you glad about that? And you know what? That's what, you know, I always like to talk about love a little bit in February because it's love month, right? And how many had a good Valentine's Day? How many had a Valentine's Day? How many don't even want to think about Valentine's Day? You're just glad it's over, right? But you know what? Valentine's Day is over. Somebody can say thank God and somebody can look forward to next year, whichever side of that you're on. But, you know, the thing about it is that when we look at all the hearts and the balloons and all that kind of stuff, it's important that without this one revelation, if you don't have a revelation, and a revelation is not just knowing something, it's knowing it and it affecting your life. How many know some things that don't affect your life? Here's what I mean that. How many know how to budget, but you don't budget? How many know how to lose weight, but you don't lose weight? Right? Right? You know, but you don't do it. But a revelation is something you know, and it affects your life. It has been revealed to you so clearly that it is you are now walking in it. See, if you're not walking in something, you just know it. But when you have a revelation of something, you know it, and you walk in it. And so if you don't have this revelation that we're going to talk about today, and last night I was laying in bed, and the Lord just kept bringing this. You know, the Lord's just been moving us in different directions, and we're a Spirit-led church. We want to be led by the Spirit. And so last time I'm just laying in bed, and the Lord just keeps bringing this to me over and over again about how much God loves you, how much God loves me. You know, a lot of times we talk about how to walk in love, how it's so important that we forgive, which we've talked about that. It's so important that we love one another. But you know what? You can't do any of those things unless you have a revelation of how much God loves you. When you understand and walk in the love of God for you, the love of God for you will take care of insecurities in your life. It will begin a healing in your life. It will repair damage in your life. Amen. It will give you a confidence that nothing else will give you. It is the love of God. And when you have that, when you walk in that, it will change your life. But if you try to pass over that and just get right into, you know, other things of God, you're missing out on what the foundation, what the basics, what you need to build your life on is how much God loves you. Because until you know how much God loves you, you're going to have insecurities. You're going to have fear. You're going to have damage from things that have happened in your life. You're going to have all those same things that you came into the kingdom of God with, and you're not allowing the love of God to work those things out and to do a healing in your life. Amen? And so we've got to know, not just know, but know and walk in how much God loves us. And when we do that, when you understand how much God loves you, it takes care of so many things in your life. When you understand how much God loves you, it really doesn't matter to you as much how much people love you. Now, of course, we all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We all want somebody to care about us. But if we're driven by that, how many know we're going to turn into people pleasers and we're going to have the wrong people in our lives? Anybody want to say amen to that? But when we understand the love of God and we have a revelation and we're walking in that, then we don't look for people to fill us because we're already full. We look for people to just add to us. Amen? We don't look to people to fill the voids in our life because God has already done that. And here's what I mean by that. So often you see people, they get into a relationship out of desperation instead of inspiration. And it's just, well, I got to have somebody. Well, you won't be like that if you let the love of God fill you up because you'll know that you have God. Insecurity is such a big thing in the world today. People are are so insecure. They're insecure in who they are. And here's how you know if you're insecure. Do you get your feelings hurt real easy? You see, we gotta be real about some stuff. If we get our feelings hurt really easy and we're offended easily, it's because there's something on the inside that we're missing. Or here's another thing. I say this all the time, that hurting people hurt people. And you know what makes people hurt? Things that have happened to us, insecurities, fears that we have. But when we understand the love of God, He comes in and fills us up from the inside out. And then suddenly we don't have those same problems anymore, because now we understand the love of God, and it's impossible to love people the way God wants us to without understanding the love of God. And so then we just keep hurting people because we're hurting, because we're missing the love of God. Did you follow that? We got to get the love of God in us, on us, walk in it, so then we're not hurting people anymore because we're hurting so bad, but now we're going to be loving on people because we're loving so much. Amen? When you feel loved, it's easier to love. Doesn't that make sense? When you are loved, it's easier to love. And so people can't do that. You know, a lot of times people get married and they think, man, this is it. Boy, when I get married, that's all I need. If I could just get married, thinking that that's going to make all your problems go away and make all your insecurities go away, going to fill you up, and it's going to make that hole in your heart better. And you know what? Then they find out and they look at their husband and they think, I thought you were going to make me all better. No, people can't do what only God can do. Amen. Amen? There is a part of us that must receive the love of God in order to walk in freedom. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Well, the only perfect love there is the love of God. And so we've got to walk in that revelation that God loves me. We hear that all the time. How many of you have ever had somebody tell you, God loves you? God loves you. God loves you. It's not enough to just hear it. We've got to walk in it. It's got to be so in us that when we get squeezed, how many have ever been squeezed by life? Somebody says something to you or circumstances or whatever, but when we get squeezed, what comes out of me is, you know what? God loves me. I'm going to make it through this because God loves me. You have said something to me that isn't very nice, but God loves me. You have hurt me, but God loves me. Amen. You know, or our past comes sneaking back up. We say, you know what? That was me, but God loves me. Amen. And so we've got to have a revelation of how much God loves you. It is so big and so huge that it is beyond really what any of us can even comprehend. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, that God is so big it is beyond anything we could ask or think. God's love for us is more than anything we can imagine. It is bigger. Amen. Amen. It is bigger. It is more full. It is more complete. That's the love of God. So let's look here. We're going to look over in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10. First John, the one in the back. Not the gospel, the one in the back. Here we go. It says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that's a big word, but here's what that word means. It means the atoning sacrifice. It says that God loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The love from God is the greatest gift you or I could ever receive. It is so big. And just to give us a good idea of it, I want us to turn over to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at a familiar story, but I think this story is one that the world needs to hear. And it's the story of the prodigal son. We've all probably heard this, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 32. And we have to have an understanding that no matter what we've done in our past, God loves you. No matter what others have said about us, God loves you. No matter what failure you're dealing with, God loves you. No matter what the enemy has told you, God loves you. That needs to be our running our running thing in our head. No matter what, God loves me. No matter what happens, God loves me. No matter what I've done, God loves me. No matter where I've been, God loves me. No matter what you say, God loves me. No matter what my parents said about me, God loves me. No matter what some man said about me, God loves me. No matter how many times I fall, God loves me. Amen? God loves me, no matter what. No matter what. And see, when you have an understanding of that, when you fall, you'll keep getting back up. When you mess up, you'll keep running back to Him because God loves you. Amen? God loves me. And so here in Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we all know this story, but let's read it again. Then he said, this is Jesus talking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. How many have ever wasted stuff? How many feel like you've wasted time, wasted your life, wasted opportunities, wasted money, wasted relationships? You have wasted things. You have not used them properly. All of us have, so we can all identify here. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Those are pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But, I love a but in the Bible. Amen? Because you know what? This could describe all of us. We've all been somewhere we weren't supposed to be. You know where he was? He was in the wrong place. The Bible says, and when he was in that land, he wasn't in his land, he was in that land. Amen? You need to be in your place. Here he is, he's in the wrong place. He spent all of his money on prodigal living. We all know what that means. That's partying at a high level. Amen? He's out there, he's wasted all of his money. He's taken money from his dad. He said, give me my portion of the inheritance. Can you imagine? His dad's not even dead yet. And he said, I want my inheritance now so I can go do what I want. He's made bad decisions. He's been selfish. He's in that land. He's eating with pigs. And, you know, and the pigs that, you know, I don't know how you feel about pork, but in the New Testament, in the Bible, pigs are always at the bottom of the food chain. Pigs are not to be, you know, pigs are actually pretty cute though, right? You know, I mean, just as pets, but you know, I'm an animal lover, so that's why I'm going to say that. But you know, pigs are not a big thing in the Bible. I mean, pigs are just pretty low on the totem pole. So here he is, he's with pigs, and how low can you be if you're saying that you would gladly eat what they're giving to the pigs? That's pretty low, isn't it? I mean, that's just gross, really. And so here he is, and he's saying, but he said, nobody gave him anything. And maybe that's how you feel this morning. You feel like you're in the wrong place. You feel like you've lost everything. You've made bad decisions. You've hurt people. How many know it probably hurt his father for him to say, give me my inheritance now. I'm not waiting till you're dead. I want it now. That's hurtful. And then you're in the wrong place. You're at the bottom of the barrel. You're so far down that you are wanting pig food. But no one gives you anything. But then there's a big but. Say big but.
Big but.
There's a big but. I love a big but in the Bible. Because you know what it says? It says no matter where you've been, but God. Amen? Whenever you put but in any sentence, it changes everything that happens before. You know, when he says, she has a really pretty face, but something bad's coming. You know? Or it was a great time, but she's very nice. But whatever you're going to say just totally discounts everything you just said. So be careful where you put those. But see, here's a good thing. Because here he's saying, you know what? All this stuff has happened. We've done all this stuff. We'd rather have what pigs are eating. I mean, this guy's in a bad place. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe that's where you feel you are. But nobody gave him anything but. Love it. But. See, everything can be going to hell in a handbasket. But you can put a big but there. But God. Amen? Nothing looks good, but God. I don't feel well, but God. I don't have any money, but God. My life has been wasted, but God. Amen? And that's what he says here. Here we go. Let's look here. He says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. How many think that, you know, that's better than wanting what pigs are eating, right? But let's keep looking. You know, and this is exactly how a lot of people think God is. But let's keep reading. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But, say it with me, but. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Oh, isn't that good? But let's look at this, because in here, this guy, this prodigal son, he doesn't understand how much God loves him, because in this story, the son is you and me, and the father is God, okay? Because this is a parable. God is showing us a spiritual truth through a natural story. That's what a parable is, showing us a big truth through something we can understand. And so in this story, the father represents God, and the son is just like you and me, because how many of us have had some prodigal living? Seriously, just me and Angel? We're the only prodigals up here? Come on. That's true, though. We, you know, at least we don't lie in church, you know. But I mean, it's a prodigal living. We've made bad mistakes. We've hurt people's feelings. We've been in that country. We've been somewhere we weren't supposed to be. And yet, but the Bible says, see, you can go anywhere, but there's always a but. But when he came to himself. And, you know, and that's a lot of times. You ever met somebody, a man, they just don't listen? They're in that country, they it'd be better for them to eat with pigs than what they're doing. I mean, it's just, they just don't listen. But you know what? Everybody needs to come to themselves. Everybody needs to, they gotta just have a moment when you realize this life isn't what I'm looking for. You can try to preach it into people, you can try to tell it into people, you can show people, you can give them your life as an example, but until they come to themselves, it's just going in. Hopefully it's staying in there a little bit. But it's a decision that everybody makes on their own. When you decide, you know what, this isn't the life for me. I'm going home. And that's what this prodigal son, but see, he didn't understand the love of God because he thought he was going home to be a servant. He thought he was going home. When the father came out to greet him and hug him, he said, Father, I have sinned. Just make me a servant. And see, a lot of times that's how people think God is. You think when you come to God, you still have to pay for what you've done. When you come to God, there's still going to be there's still shame. There's still a separation between you and him because of what you've done. Isn't that what he thought? He thought because of what he had done, because he had spent all the money, because he had had prodigal living, because he was in the wrong country, because he did all that. He said, when I go back, I'm just going to be a hired servant. But you know what? God has better plans for you than to be a hired servant. You're not a slave in the house of God. You're not an employee in the house of God. You are a son and a daughter in the house of God. No matter where you've been. No matter where you've been. You could be rolling with pigs. You can always still come home. Not to get back with pigs, but to get the best robe. The best robe. To get the embrace of the Father. See, that's the love of God. That's how much God loves me. And you know, when I heard this, when Blaine Bartell was here, and I had never heard it before, never heard this, but you know, there's always new stuff for us to learn, amen? Never think you know it all, because then you're just silly. That's just silly. But that's a nice way to put it. But Blaine Bartell was here, and he shared just briefly about this, but he said the reason that this story was so powerful to the Jews is because it is really cold in here. Is anybody else cold? I see people shivering. Where's somebody? Turn the air up. You can do it on my phone if somebody doesn't know how to do it. I see people going like this. You can't listen when you're freezing, right? And so anyways, let's all think warm thoughts, s'mores. S'mores. Doesn't that sound good? Crackling fire. Ooh, it's not helping. I'm so cold. But anyway, now we're all hungry too. Back to Blaine Bartell. So Blaine Bartell, he tells a story. He said the reason that when Jesus shared the story, it was so impacting to the Jews is because they had all heard this story before. And I'm sitting here. I was sitting right here, and I'm thinking, I've never heard this. I've been to Bible school a long time. You know, I mean, I got a few things on my wall here. I have never heard this story, but there's always new stuff to learn. Amen. And so anyway, so Blaine Bartell's telling this, and he says the reason it was so impacting is because every time that the Jews had heard this story, when the prodigal son came back home, the father was standing there, and he had a big pot in his hand. He had a big pot. And when the son would come back home in front of all the people of the community, they would take the pot and he would crush it down onto the ground. And what that represented was there was no embrace. There was no party. It was a good day for the fatted calf, but not for the son. Because they didn't kill the fatted calf. They didn't have a party. He didn't get a robe. He didn't get shoes. He didn't get a ring. They took this pot and they crushed it onto the ground so that everybody in the village could see. And what that represented was that prodigal son, his relationship, not just with the father, but with the village, was now beyond repair. It was broken, and he could not come home. And you know, a lot of people think that's how God still is. That what you've done is beyond repair. You are beyond repair. Repair. And there's no hug. But Jesus came and said, no, that's not the love of the Father. He came and he put a different ending on a story that they had heard many times. He put a different ending on a story that we have felt many times. And he said, no, there's no pot going to be broken. The only thing that's going to happen here is relationship will be restored. That's the love of God. No matter where I've been, God loves me. No matter what I've done, God loves me. No matter what has happened to me, God loves me. No matter what damage has been done to me, God loves me. Amen? God ran out. God is the Father in this story. And he runs out and he embraces the Son. But yet the Son still thinks, just make me a hired servant. You know, when people say things like, oh, I can't go to church, the walls would fall in. They don't know the love of God. Or when people say, oh, no, God, you know, there's a bumper sticker and it said, what is that? It's the stupidest bumper sticker. You just want to grab the person who owns this car and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. You ever want to do that to people sometimes? Just grab them by the shoulders, look them in the eye and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, I remember what it said. It said, hell was afraid I'd take over. Or hell sent me back or something like that and heaven wouldn't have me. You ever hear, see those bumper stickers? You just want to say to somebody, you know what, you don't have any idea. But you know what, that person somewhere along the line doesn't think God loves them. They think where they've been is too much for God. They've got that prodigal mindset. And we've got to show them, that's our job, to show them the love of God is bigger. It's greater. It is more than you can understand. God is not your natural father. Maybe your natural father didn't love you the way you needed to be. God is not the man who left you. God is not the woman who broke your heart. God is not, he's not a person. He's God. And loving you is not just what he does. The Bible says God is love. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. Love originated in him. Yes. And he loves you. He loves me. And you know what? God shows us through the story because so many times people think, in verse number 21, this is people's attitude. They say, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. See, we have to understand, we've got to get a revelation that my actions do not make me worthy of anything from God. Nothing. Because how many know I can never be good enough? You can never be good enough. He says, I have sinned against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And God showed right here, he showed that it isn't about how much you feel you're worth. It isn't about where you've been. He says, and he arose and came to his father and was still a great way off. And his father saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But, anybody want to say it with me? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Right here, verse number 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. He said, this, my son, he was far off. He was lost, but he's back. God didn't say, you know what? You're going to have to work on some things. You're going to have to prove some things to me. He didn't say any of that, did he? He didn't even ask where he'd been. Didn't even ask what he'd done. Didn't even ask. See, when you come back to Father, there's always an embrace. Always. Never will you find in the Bible where somebody came back to God that there wasn't an embrace. There wasn't restoration of relationship. And it's never because the person got it all together and then came back. They came back with everything. That guy still had all the same problems. He still had all the same stuff. He had still lost everything. He still had all that prodigal living. He was still rolling around with pigs. But the father didn't care. And the father doesn't care about you. God isn't interested in what you've done. God's interested in what you're going to do right now. Amen? And see, here's the thing. So often, somebody moved my clock. I could preach forever. I wouldn't even know. My clock is gone. But you know, the thing is that God loves us so much. But we have to get a revelation of that, where we walk in it, where we understand it, where we live it. We don't just know it. We live it. A lot of people know John 3:16, but not that many people live it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it goes on to say, for God didn't come into us to condemn the world, but to save it. So many people feel that God is condemning, that God is after you, that God is pointing a finger. God doesn't like what we do sometimes. He doesn't like it. He doesn't approve. But he always loves us. Always. Always. And so we have got to get a revelation. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God really loves me. He won't leave me. He won't abandon me. He won't give up on me. He won't do that. God loves me. God is not a person. He's not going to love you the way people have loved you, because people do leave. People do hurt. People do abandon. But God's not a person. God is God. And his love is enough. And so if you're struggling with insecurity, if you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with these things, it's not a faith issue. It's a love issue. You say, oh, I need more faith. No, you need to understand God's love more. You need to get in there and you need to say, all right, Lord, show me your love. Show it to me. You don't have a faith problem. You got a love problem. You're comparing the love of God to the love of people. You're expecting him to leave. You're expecting him not to come through. I had a young lady tell me one time, and it really broke my heart. And she was there's probably a lot of people in here. You're children of divorce. And you know, and that's hard. It's hard for kids. And it's hard for kids to be in a family that isn't divorced and has got all kind of problems. You know, so, you know, which is better? I don't know. But it's tough on kids. And so I was talking to her, and I was saying, you know, just encouraging her to reach out to God for help. You know what she said to me? She said, I've been let down so many times in my life, I can't set myself up to be let down by God. That's why I don't ask. And I was just like, oh. She said, I've been let down so many times. I just can't, I'm afraid that if I ask God to help me and nothing happens, I'll be let down by Him too. And I just can't take that. And I reached across the table and I grabbed her hands and I looked her in the eye and I said, God is not your parents. God is not that boy. God is not a person. You got to say to yourself, you know what? People stink sometimes. And that's the truth. Somebody say amen. People stink sometimes. But I'm so glad God is above all that. Amen. God is more than all that. And you know what? And people don't mean to do stuff, but hurting people hurt people. When somebody hurts you, just look at them and say, you need the love of God. Amen. You need the love of God. They might smack you, but say it anyway. You need the love of God. Because usually that's the last thing somebody wants to hear. But that's what's wrong. When people are hurting and people hurt you and they're mean and they're nasty and they do crazy stuff, it's just because they're hurting too. But we've got to get an understanding. See, if you're thinking God's like your dad or God's like your mom or God's like that boy or God's like whoever, you got to stop and say, you know what? I got to get a but God in my life. He left me, but God. They hurt me, but God. I've been prodigal living, but God. And let's turn over to Ephesians and let's look at the biggest but in the Bible. See how many times we can say but at church today, really. Ephesians chapter 4. Nope, not 4. Ephesians chapter 2. Here we go. This is so good. We're going to start in verse number 1. And he says, and you, he's talking about you, those who have called upon the Lord as their Savior. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. In other words, we were prodigal living. Verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. This is how much God loves you. Even when we were dead in trespasses, even when you were at your worst, the Bible said he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. Remember, you're never going to make yourself worthy. It's all God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But you know what? It's a good thing. Next time you think God is done with you or you've gone too far for God, you need to get in here and read verse number 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. You know, it's one thing when somebody is nice to you, but they still make you sit at a different table. You know, like, oh, I really care about you, but sit over there. You know, that's not what Jesus did. He made us alive together. He raised us up together. We are seated together with Christ Jesus. When we come to God, he knows where we've been. He knows what we've done. He says, even when you were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves me. God loves me. And it's right here. It says, verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. And you know what? That needs to be a verse that all of us know. We have it memorized, because whenever the enemy comes and tries to say, you're not very special, you're not very special, you can say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love. God loves me. God loves you. And you know what? Having an understanding of that will help you get up when you fall down. Having an understanding of that will help what people do not matter so much to you, because you've got God. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't pick you for the team. There's always going to be somebody that is going to leave you out. There's always going to be somebody who's going to talk about you. There's always going to be somebody who's going to say something about you that isn't true. There's always going to be somebody that hurts your feelings. That's always going to happen. And you can let that rule your life, or you can let a big but God rule your life. Amen? And I'll tell you, it's so much better when the love of God is what's in me. It drives me. It holds me. That, you know, the Bible says it's an anchor for my soul. When all of the crazy of life starts blowing everywhere, there is an anchor for us. And it is rooted in the love of God. The Bible says rooted and grounded in the love of God. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better than being up and down of the opinions of people? Up and down with who likes me, who unfriended me on Facebook, right? But oh, with the love of God, you can just go through life. Things still happen. The wind still comes. The rain still comes. And it still hurts a little bit, but won't derail you. Won't derail you. You got stuff that's happened to you in the past, things that happened to you in your childhood. Maybe your parents weren't those uplifting parents that you needed. They were always telling you you weren't going to matter. You weren't going to amount to much. You never could do anything right. Listen, you're going to be that parent again. Because we become what has been modeled before us. And if you don't change the model you're following, you'll be just like them. And that's why it's so important to have an understanding and a revelation of the love of God, so that you're not moved by what happened to you. You're moved by what God has done for you. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better? You want to change what's going on the inside? That's the only way you're going to change what's going on the outside. And what you need to change is an understanding of how much God loves you. God loves you. And when things happen, but God. When things don't go your way, or people, or sickness, or whatever, but God, who is rich in mercy. You know what mercy is, right? It's getting what I need, not what I deserve. Amen? Doesn't matter the condition I come to God. His mercy is enough. Doesn't matter where I've been, his mercy, his love is enough. God loves you. Amen. So no matter what people are saying, God loves you. No matter how many people have left you, God loves you. No matter what you've done in your past, God loves you. No matter how many times you failed, God loves you. No matter how many times you blew your budget, God loves you. No matter how many bounce checks you have, God loves you. Amen. He's not happy about all that, and he wants to help you. But he still loves you. Don't let what you've done hinder you from coming back to God. Let's pray together. For your love. That you love us so much. Father, I pray for every person here, that we would have a greater understanding and revelation of your love for us. That, Lord, that we would not only know John 3:16, but we would live John 3:16. That, Lord, that we would not only know you as the good shepherd, but, Lord, that would be a truth in our life that we walk out. That we know that you love us no matter what. That no matter where we go, no matter how we fall, no matter what people say, that your love will give us the confidence that we need. That your perfect love will cast out all fear in our life. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, our helper. We ask you to teach us and to help us have a greater understanding and revelation of how much God loves us. Help us see, Lord. Help us know that no matter what, you love us. You know, just in my spirit, I just keep getting this word, empty, empty. There are people here today and you feel empty. It's never enough. And I just pray for you right now that you would understand that the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. That the love of God is filling you from the inside out. That you would understand that. That you would understand that God's love makes up for where we are hurting, are lost. Just like the prodigal. This is my son who was dead and is now alive, who was lost but is now found. I just encourage you to receive the love of God and have an understanding that it is what you're looking for. It is what you're looking for. Oh, thank you, Lord. I pray that you don't accept any counterfeit. Any counterfeit, any fake. But you walk in a revelation of the love of God. That is my prayer for you today. I thank you, Lord, that your word says when we pray, you hear us, you answer us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, ain't God good? He's so good. He's so good. Well, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering this morning. You guys ready for that?